All right, day 59. We are in 1 Peter 1 and 5 and 2 Peter 1.
Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of caught off guard because Malia said something a little funny and I'm still...
I was like, we're in the Peters.
I'm still trying to get my thoughts together. And nothing's better than Matt trying to hold it together at his desk right now. All right, so yeah, so
First Peter, what a great book! What a great book.
Well, why do you say that?
I just love it. It's just it's just a really good book about hope, and yeah,
I just like it.
Yep.
All right, so let's just kind of again because we're hitting a little bit of these two different books, so to understand the entirety of it, First Peter is written to believers that have been exiled. They're dispersed throughout the known world, the ancient world. They're under intense persecution. So this is not a group of people that are getting this message that are comfortable and sitting at home. And this is a message to believers that are in really some horrible situations. And this is why, you know, there's so much encouragement when Peter starts about it. That's why he starts talking about God and Jesus being our living hope, taking eyes off of our current circumstances and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he goes into talking about being holy because, again, he's calling us to that. He's reminding us of that higher calling, right? Like, this calling is so much bigger than this. Be holy, that you know. So he's kind of rallying them. When I look at 1 Peter, he's rallying these Christians, reminding them of who they are, reminding them of what God is doing in them and the change that has happened in them. And so he's just don't lose hope, right? That's what I see when I read 1 Peter is don't lose hope. And he's reminding of that victorious life that we have. So again, there's a lot. I mean, there's just so much to this to kind of pull out. And then the time that we have, it's just, you know, he's reminding us live as strangers here in reverent fear. Again, Peter is basically take your eyes off what's right in front of you and look at the big picture, right?
I always really love the chapter 1, verse 12, at the very end where it says, even angels long to look into these things, where, like, angels can't fully understand the gospel. They can't enter in the way that we can. And so, I don't know, like, that's always just been kind of a cool little statement in there for me.
Well, it goes back to a conversation we were having during our discipleship small group is, we can only understand that which we've experienced, right? So so we were talking about how as Christians, it's hard for me to fully fathom what heaven's going to be like because I've never experienced perfection. Like, I can talk about it, but I don't know because I've never experienced it. And that's the same thing with angels. If you think about it, they may look and see our, you know, Matt, would you please control that?
I swear,
I apologize
people
to everybody.
Only call when we're trying to record stuff.
But when you think about angels not fully, like you said, they don't get it, is because, yes, they can see what our lives are like, but they've never experienced this. They don't know what this is like.
It's a whole different thing.
So that's why they'll never fully understand what redemption is. And that, because they've never had to experience redemption. So I think that's even where then he goes into, you know, be holy. Is if you think about this, he's calling us to this. You've been made holy, you know, like this again is something the angels have never had to deal with. And therefore, you know, that's why he said, therefore, prepare your minds to take action on this life that you've been given. And so there's a lot of deep stuff here from Peter. That he's presenting and I would love to go in, you know, but we didn't read any more than, you know, just chapter one. There's great stuff in two, three.
We have chapter five.
Which then is, this is kind of more, again, that practical. We're kind of, he's very elevated with what he's talking about. And as he goes deeper into this, he kind of brings it down to some more practical stuff, talking about elders and leadership. And you remember, Peter was the guy that led the church. So this is something very important to him. You know, this is the guy, if you remember, that got the call from Jesus, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, you know. And so he's talking about the importance of elders and for Christians in the church to submit to the elders in the sense of, remember, they have a calling by God and a responsibility. And he's talking about how we should be submissive to one another. And then in the middle of it, you know, humble yourselves, therefore, you know, this is verse 6, humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. You know, it's just that call in our lives and our relationship with Jesus and in the church. Let's strive to be humble. Mm-hmm. It all ends in, or starts and ends with humility. So yeah, just some good, just deep truth that, you know, and then again, there's other, read the entire book. Talks about wives and husbands and marriage and the church and unity and submission, and there's a lot covered.
There's a lot. There's some interesting statements too that I know if we plan to do a First Peter series at some point, that, you know, you can't escape some of those texts. You have to just deal with them as they come
up.
So.
You do. Yeah. Just as you read First Peter again, just remember these are people that are again exiled. This is difficult. So when we face difficulties in our own lives, you can go back to First Peter. It's like, well, what was some of the stuff that Peter made sure that they knew and remembered? Mm-hmm. So again, a lot of encouragement and hope there, and just something to go back to.
And what about First or Second Peter?
So Second Peter 1. I forgot we have two in this. Yeah. One. I was like, hey. So Second Peter is a little bit different. Peter is writing this one more as a stance against false teaching that's infiltrating the church. Again, this is one of the main things that they kept a lot of the writers in New Testament had to hit on was why people were trying to bring this false teaching in. Mm-hmm. He's teaching against the spread of apostasy that's happening in the church. He's calling the reader to their maturity. He's calling the reader to stand firm in their faith and to be strong in their faith. And ultimately, in a lot of places, he's reminding us to return our focus to Christ, right? Like, it's that's where we get in trouble, is when we take our eyes and we start focusing on everything else.
Yeah.
And if everything we're focusing on can't have Christ as the center, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. And that's what you see in this is Peter addressing that. So, he's talking about the security of our calling, again, he starts with that encouragement of, you know, remember the gospel, remember who we are, the power that's been given to us, the knowledge that we have of him. It's kind of in some ways a call back to the basics, I would say. Like, hey, pay attention. This is what we believed, and then we can build on this. And again, he's doing that because he's going against false teaching. So, which, that's important to us because we should know our Bible so that we can know false teaching. That's why we study our scripture, is so that we can do the same thing.